Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. I am calling to you live this week from rainy Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. And I have my wonderful friend and co-host, the story lady herself, Rhonda Del Baccio from ProfitableStorytelling.com, joining me today. Hello, Ms. Rhonda.
From sunny Missouri. Hi.
Oh, rub it in, why don't you?
I know. Well, you did that to me last week when you had sun and warm. Now my cats are lying in the sun, streaming in. It's just really not as warm as I'd like, but it's definitely sunny and it feels wonderful.
Well, that is too great. We actually desperately need the rain here. We have had so little rain this year. It's really created fire hazards. It's been really, really seriously low levels of rain. So I'm welcoming the rain for a short period of time, but hoping it doesn't continue for very long. Usually it doesn't. I mean, all summer you can almost set your clock by the rain every day because it does happen every single day. And this is just one of those weird rains that it'll probably be here most of the day, but by tonight it should clear out and get nice and warm again. It was 78 degrees at 11 o'clock last night when I wanted to go to the beach. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, 78. Yeah, that's a wonderful temperature to have. We had it really warm Saturday, and then it got cold. Now it's sunny again and warming up, so that's a little bit better.
Well, I hear you actually could have some snow in store for you later this week, so hopefully it doesn't get that bad.
Yeah, I don't know that we will down this far south, but that's... people up in St. Louis and some other areas get it a little worse than we do. So we shall see.
I don't know. They said Branson. They said Branson. They said it would be a very unusually late snowfall if it happens, but that it could be even as far south as Branson getting snow.
Amazing. Well, that's always possible. The weather has been increasingly weird, but it's always
But there's
a good
warm,
day.
Clear temperatures after that. Warm, clear skies after that, I should say.
Love it.
So I hear we have an interesting show planned for today, and I am really looking forward to this one because I have news to even update you on.
Oh, my goodness. Well, so today's show comes from the fact that there are so many changes in the way that Google is operating and in Facebook and just in all kinds of things that are truly significant for anyone who is growing a business. And those who understand this stuff early can really get in ahead of the crowd, and it's only by making a few minor tweaks that you can really ride this wave in a good way, right, Gina?
Absolutely. And, you know, I want to put a caveat out there as we start in on this topic, because so often people believe that in order to understand how Google ranks websites and how that turns into traffic and sales and terms like search engine optimization and search engine marketing, so often people believe that you've really got to be a scientist almost to figure this stuff out. And I really want people to take away from today's show that it is not rocket science. And that you really can do this if you're an entrepreneur, even if you're not interested in marketing. It's really a matter of understanding the psychology of Google and search engines generally so that you can figure out how, without lots of effort and lots of time and lots of scientific knowledge, you can do what you need to really benefit from the traffic that the search engines can send your way. So take that away today, that this is easy, guys. This is not complicated. This is not hard. It is easy, easy, easy.
Right. It really is. It is easy. It's just about paying attention a little bit to some things. And it's really knowing what the people that are going to want what you do in your business, knowing what they want and what they would be searching for so that you can make sure to be the one who is their influencer. And it's really all about this trend of we're basically trying to make sure that people can stumble across the things that they want and need and would be looking for. So the things that you search for in a search engine then become tracked and part of your behavior pattern. And then they put things in there. I noticed I wrote a miracle article and so was doing some things to make sure that some other things got bookmarked and so forth. And all of a sudden in my Gmail, I'm seeing all these miracle-related at Google ads that are coming up in the sidebar, that type of thing.
Oh, interesting. That is really interesting, Rhonda. But that's how
that
Google works these days.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was this morning. And that's just from searches. And it's really funny. I'll notice when I'm doing, sometimes I'm doing market research for a customer, or for a client or a student, and helping them with something, or we're looking something up on a call or whatever. And then all of a sudden I'll start notice, if I do anything related, it just throws other stuff in front of you because it's like they think that's what you want, and they don't know that
exactly.
I'm just looking up for a student. So that's the type of thing that when you know and understand this, you can really have that effect of being the influencer that you need to be. So this is like influence part two. A while back we did we did a great call about influence a while back, and I need to go and grab that link for us to put it in the show notes. But that was a great call, and now this is how we're talking about using technology, the search engines, Facebook, things like that, to help you to be an influencer.
And, to get this started, let's talk a little bit about the topic of search engine traffic and how it can affect your business. Even as recently as a few years ago, search engine marketing was not really all that big of a deal. You really wouldn't hear mainstream news like CNN, MSNBC, and so on talking about how the search engines can affect your business. Mm-hmm. But today, things have changed a lot, and things have gotten much bigger than they were even a few years ago. And nowadays, when Google does make a change that affects the traffic coming to websites, it is such a hot piece of news that it's not uncommon to hear mainstream news channels, newspaper, TV, radio, and every single type of media out there talking about the impact that the latest Google changes are having on businesses worldwide. It's that big of a deal. If you have any business, on or offline, and you're not paying attention to what kind of traffic the search engines can send to you, and you're not doing stuff to capture a bigger share of that pie, you are leaving loads of money on the table. And in today's economy, it is absolutely essential that every business, from the Fortune 100 companies to the mom-and-pop solopreneurs that own a dry cleaner, every business be paying attention to search engine marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really, really important piece of how your business will succeed or what could potentially be the cause of your business failing. So with that in mind, let's get into some of the specifics. So first, let's talk about what's important when it comes to search engine marketing. This, again, is a topic that I don't think enough people really get right. You'll see many people calling themselves local business marketing consultants going out to offline businesses, offering to help them with their search engine marketing, their SEM, or their search engine optimization, their SEO. And what they're essentially selling is helping that business get a number one listing in Google for specific keywords. And they'll go door to door trying to tell these businesses that they need to hire them for thousands of dollars each month to do these SEO campaigns for them that will let them get a number one ranking on Google. And many of the people making those kinds of sales calls are succeeding. They're getting businesses to pay them thousands of dollars a month to do this. But what the customer needs to be aware of is that you actually don't need or even want a number one listing in Google. That's not the thing that really is important to you. What your business needs is more customers and more sales, and not always does a number one listing in Google translate into those dollars. So when you're looking at using search engine marketing, it's important to keep in mind what your business really wants and needs. It needs a larger list of subscribers to, say, a newsletter so that you've got a way to communicate with the people on an ongoing basis. And
right.
Now your newsletter can turn them into customers. You need new people coming to your business, whether it's on or offline, where they're going to be buying products. But you don't need just more traffic coming to your site. And that's about all that a number one ranking in Google helps you to do, is to get more traffic to your site. So really keep in mind that the objective is the dollars as well as the relationships, so that you really know how to turn the extra traffic that you can get from Google into actual dollars in your business's pocket. That's the really important piece of all of this. Now, how does that happen? Well, just like all the other topics we talk about on this show, it's relationships that cause the sales to happen. And Google has really become a master at thinking about relationship marketing. In fact, almost every single change that I've seen from Google in the last 5 years has, by design, been meant to serve its searchers better as opposed to selling the searchers something. Google really understands relationship marketing and how it relates to the power of the Internet today. And everything they do is, by design, meant to grow their relationship with their customers. Google makes its money in selling paid advertising. But the way that money happens is based upon searchers clicking on ads. If they don't click, they're certainly not going to make any money from their advertising. Google really recognizes that engaged readers will click more, that engaged readers will come back repeatedly and click more. And they know that if that's where their money is coming from, that it's really critical that they build strong relationships with their searchers. So all of the tools that Google puts out, from Gmail to the calendar to Google Docs to Google Maps, everything else that they've got is all by design meant to improve the relationship and the engagement levels. The search engine results are no different. If Google gives people search results that don't give them what they want and don't serve them at all, it just sends them to pages and pages of ads, the searchers are going to go find another search engine to use to find the data that they want. They're not going to just keep going through page after page of worthless sites that are garbage. There's this fine balance for Google because they understand that the way they make their money is by getting people to click on ads, but they also know that a site that contains nothing but Google AdSense ads doesn't give searchers what they want. So it's almost like they're always walking on this tightrope. On one side of it, they want to make more money from their advertising. The other side of it, they need to serve their searchers well, and there's got to be a balance there. Or they don't serve the people well, and they end up making less money in the end. If you can really understand... Sorry, go ahead, Rhonda.
Oh, no, it's okay. I was just going to say, just to give a really quick example so that people can understand, because they may be going, what? How does Google know what's going to be helpful and whatever? So if somebody, let's say you're looking for whatever your search term is, and you see there's a listing and you click on it, and you go, oh, great, there's two paragraphs of text and 500 ads. That's just great. So you go back to Google and look for something else. Well, then they're not making money on those ads, are they?
So no, they're not.
That's how that works. So now go ahead.
And Google tracks all this stuff. They know how many people go from one link to the next, that get to the search results, don't see what they want, and come back to Google to look for something else. They track that stuff carefully.
Right.
And what they've been seeing for many years is when marketers discovered AdSense sites and realized that using automated tools, they could put out thousands of sites that made money from Google AdSense ads, and marketers started popping site after site after site out there, but there really wasn't any content that helped the searchers, Google quickly started to realize, oh, wow, yeah, we're making more money from the ads, but only when people click on them, and very few people are clicking on them. When it was a new thing and it wasn't happening that often, people were clicking on those ads rather than going back to Google to look for something else. But the sites became so prevalent that all of a sudden people started going, oh, another one of those sites. And they stopped clicking on the ads and went back to Google. And that's when Google said, uh-oh, we better do something new, do something different. And for the last few years, what Google's been trying to figure out is how can we do a better job of serving our searchers and at the same time make more money. And so all of the changes to the way that Google creates the search engine listing have come from that mentality in that place. And it really makes so much sense when you see the latest changes that that's where Google has been coming from. Several years ago, we had this humongous change in Google that everyone refers to as the Google slap. People who had owned search engine rankings, number one listings for years, quickly found themselves way down thousands of pages deep in the search engine listings. And it really hurt a lot of businesses. Recently, we've started to see a very similar kind of change happening in Google. And this has just happened the last couple of months. And the latest changes actually are affecting even more businesses, especially those that were trying to manipulate the search engine results without considering how they were going to serve the website visitors. So here's what Google's looking for. Number one, Google understands that all their searchers have different learning styles. While one person might like text, another person prefers audio. Another person prefers video. Yet another person prefers to look at images like flowcharts. And yet another person prefers to have a slideshow that they can meander through at their own pace. They know that all these different people are still using the same search terms, but they're looking at the results going, oh, well, if only I could find a video. Somebody else is saying, oh, if only I could find an audio. And somebody else is going, man, if I could only read that. So what Google really wants to see right now is that each website has the same content in multiple different formats. So that if Google sends someone to that website, no matter what learning style they prefer, they're going to find the result that they want. What that means to you is that if you take each piece of content on your site and put it out in multiple creative formats, and there are five creatives, there's text, there's images, those are the most often used formats. There are slideshows, there are videos, there are audios, the five creatives. If you took every piece of content and had all five creatives, you wouldn't just go to a number one spot in Google. Each piece of content in each different format would create a new entry in the search results, and so you would own the first five spots for your keywords. That's a big deal. because people who look at the search results subconsciously see the listing order as a recommendation from Google. The guy in the number one spot is the person that they think Google is looking at as the biggest expert in its field. The guy in the last spot is the guy that Google's going, oh, you really don't want to go to this guy. He's not any good at all. That's why he's down at the bottom of the list. And whether
right.
it's a conscious subconscious recognition, when you do see multiple entries all pointing to the same expert, that person starts to think about the expert in a whole new light. Holy cow, Google thinks enough of this person to send me to that same person repeatedly. He's got to be a big expert in the eyes of Google. And if it's good enough for Google, then it's good enough for me.
Right.
So not only do you get higher search engine rankings when you have multiple creatives, you start to dominate the search engine results because of multiple creatives. Instead of having one listing, you have multiple listings all pointing back to your stuff. So that's one of the first keys to getting better search engine results in today's internet. Have multiple different formats for the same content. This is a big part of why I'm getting ready to release a new tool called My Instant Video. If you go to askggg.com/MIV special for My Instant Video Special, you can still get in on the beta test program that we have. What My Instant Video does is it allows you to post a piece of text as a post on your website, and it will automatically convert that first to audio, then to video. And Google wants the audio and video content to be shown a certain way. What they're looking for are the words audio content reader and video content reader. It's part of what's called the Google Handicapped Accessible Search Rule. At askggg.handicap, you'll find what that rule says. So when you have it displayed with audio content reader and video content reader, Google puts you up to the top knowing that you're really getting what they want to do. It
By the way,
also
guess,
takes,
go ahead.
Ahead.
So I was going to say, guess who owns page one of Google under audio content reader?
Are you serious?
Me.
That is awesome.
And that was before, and I looked at it right before I put my feeds into several directories and stuff, so yes.
That is awesome. Good job, Rhonda. Google knows you get it, right?
That's right. They know that I get it, and I'm sure I haven't checked for video or to see how things have changed yet today, but yes, it is. It makes a difference. And even if you don't get all five creatives, at least getting several of them is going to be a better idea than not.
Yeah, and you know, if each post on your site also has an image in it, and you've got the keyword from the title of the post in the image, you really do have four creatives when you use My Instant Video. You've got text,
right.
images, audios, and videos. The only one you're missing is slideshows. It's
mm-hmm.
sure a lot better than just a text-based post on your site. It
yep.
then takes your audios and creates a new RSS feed that is an audio podcast of just the audios. It does the same with the videos and creates a new feed that is a video podcasting feed. And then it creates a third new feed mm-hmm. that's multimedia that has audio, video, the image, and text all in that feed. So now you can use those feeds to send more traffic from directories, just like there are RSS directories that you can add your normal WordPress feed to. You can add your audio and video feeds to podcast directories like iTunes that have over 48 million visitors a month downloading audios and videos on iTunes. Really, really big deal. So that's one of the things you can do to help improve your search engine rankings. The next thing you want to do is look at where your keyword is being placed in each piece of content. Some people will talk about terms like keyword density. How many times are you mentioning the keyword as compared to other words in your content? You know what? You don't need to worry about that. It's just overly complicating an easy, simple issue. You need to have the keyword you're trying to get ranked for in four key places in every piece of content. You want it in the title of your post or your page. you want it in the tags attached to that post or page. And then at least twice in the body of the content, that same exact keyword becomes the anchor text, the thing that you click on for a link. Once it's a link that goes on your site, so something on the same URL that has the same keyword. So post number 2 can link to post number 1. Post number 3 might link to page number 1. But you have an internal link that is your same domain name. The second time you use the word, you want it to link to some other site that uses the same keyword. And don't just link to something like Wikipedia.com. Find the place within Wikipedia.com that uses the same keyword and link to that specific article. That's as much optimizing as you need to do for each piece of content.
Mm-hmm.
If you can also add an image and make the title and alternate text of the image the title of your post, as long as you've got the keyword in the title of your post, the keyword's now attached to your image when you copy the title as the title of the image and the alternate text. Some people say having an external link is a traffic leak that's going to send traffic away from your site. Okay, so maybe that's true. You can bury your external link by attaching the external link to your image and not making it quite as visible on your site. That will still get the SEO accomplished, but in a way that will serve your readers a little bit better. That's as much optimizing as you need to do.
Right.
If you can then use tools like My Instant Video to get multiple creatives, put up 5 blog posts a week for a month, so you have 20 posts, you're going to be getting traffic from it, and you're going to have really good search engine rankings that are starting to dominate the results, even with as few as 20 posts. That's as much as you need to do. So the next thing Google is looking for is they want to see that you really do know your stuff, that you are an expert in whatever field you happen to be in. Now, they can only assess this in an automated way. They can't come to your site for every single one of the billions of websites and review it page by page to see if you really know your stuff. So how does Google know whether you are an expert or you aren't in an automated way? Tough question, right? Well, that's where the term Google PageRank plays a role. Google has a PageRank for every single site that it has indexed. Your PageRank is Google's measure of whether you are or are not an expert in your niche. There are a number of different types of links that are all critical to the overall search engine ranking for your URL. Those links are internal links. We just talked about those. That tells Google that your site is well organized. There are external links, links from your site to some other site using the same keyword. The external links are telling Google that you know who the experts in this niche are. They want to see that you do know who the experts are. And the last kind of link is what's called a backlink or an inbound link. They want to see that other people that they already think of as experts know who you are. That helps to confirm for them that, yep, you really are the expert that you think you are. So it's looking for all three types of links whenever they go out looking at your site. Are you an expert or aren't you? They reward you by giving you a higher page rank when you do have all three kinds of links available for them. And that then starts to tell them, yeah, there's somebody that they should be looking at. When you get a Google PageRank of 5 or higher, and a PageRank goes from 0 to 9, that's telling Google that you are an authority in your niche, that you really are an expert. If you've got something less than 5, they're still trying to assess, are you an expert or aren't you, and trying to figure that out. So what can you do to improve your page rank, and why do you want to do that? When your page rank increases, so do your search engine listings. If you're a PR of 5, you're probably going to be on the first or second page of results If you're a PR of zero, you're going to be buried way deep in the search listings. So if you can improve your page rank, you're likely to improve the search engine ranking as well as the dominating effect. Because Google's really looking at the stuff that's making you an expert, it's automatically going to cause the domination to happen, meaning multiple entries, not one high ranking, as you go through the process of improving your page rank. So the key is to have a combination of internal, external, and backlinks. Not all internal, external, and backlinks are equal in terms of the value to you from a page rank and a search engine ranking perspective. Let me explain what I mean. If you have an internal link that goes from post number 2 to post number 1, that's a one-level deep link. You need a lot of those, probably in the area of hundreds of internal links, to get to be an authority site in Google's eyes with a page rank of 5 or higher. You'll need an equal number of internal links and external links, again, on the order of hundreds. The backlinks or inbound links, you need about 10 times more of them to really be an expert in your field, so on the order of thousands of backlinks. Now, there are ways for you to get a higher number of links in Google's weighting system, even without having to have hundreds or thousands of posts on your website. And the way that you do it is by creating deep links of these three types, internal, external, and inbound. So what the heck is a deep link? A deep link is talking about an internal link. It goes from post number 2 to post number 1. Post number 1 to page number 2. Page number 2 to page number 1. There are 4 levels in that linking structure I just created. If each one of the links has the same anchor text, which is your keyword, the value of a 3 or 4 level deep link is the equivalent of about 100 internal links that just go from post number 2 to post number 1. Trying to create really deep internal links can be really cumbersome and require a lot of planning, but there is a way to do it on an automated basis, and it's a tool called My Instant Glossary. If you look at boomerlifestyle.com, you'll see a link in the navigation that says glossary. This glossary is created with a tool called My Instant Glossary. You'll find it on myinstantplugins.com. The glossary tool is so powerful because it can automate creation of these really deep internal links. When you put the word into a post, it's in your title, it's in your tags, it's used in the body. You can have it automatically take the first instance of the word and link from that word in the post to that word in the glossary. It will then link from that word in the glossary to that word as a tag. And as a tag, it will then have a list of all of the posts that use that word at all.
Right.
So it's automatically creating these 3-level deep links for any word that you put into the glossary. Talk about huge.
Wonderful.
I have seen sites get a page rank of 5 in under 4.5 months because of the glossary being used. It normally takes years to get to become an authority site without it. So it's one that I can't recommend highly enough. One of the newest features just came out a couple weeks ago is the ability to add synonyms to the terms in the glossary. So let's say I used WordPress as one word, and in my synonyms, I used WordSpace Press, blogging, WordPress blog, and a few other terms that really mean WordPress. It's going to create those same really deep links for each and every synonym to the word WordPress. The links might look like they're linked to the word WordPress, but the way that My Instant Glossary does this, it's going to have separate versions of those same links for each synonym that you attach to a word in the glossary. Now you have a way to get equal rankings for the singular and plural of a word. to be able to get equal level of search engine rankings if you have past, present, and future tense. Any variation of a word, you can now get multiple entries in the search engines for just
even,
using the synonyms feature.
Even a common misspelling.
Mm.
So if you know that there's a word that people tend to misspell quite frequently and it's one that your readers would be looking for, you can put that misspelling of the word in there so that people will find it. And this happens all
That's
the time.
That's a really
time.
Good
I mean,
idea.
Let's say that you're talking about a ceiling, as in what's above your head inside a house. Well, a lot of people don't know how to spell that word, and if that was really something people would be searching for, and you put the three common ways people spell ceiling, the right one and two wrong ones, that would mean they'd still find you and whatever you were talking about.
Yeah, really good idea. So that's one of the ways you can do it with internal links. But with both
mm-hmm.
external links as well as inbound links, you also want to be creating deep links there too. The whole blogging system that I teach involves using the magic formula for writing a powerful post, which is in part what the placement of the keywords on your post is about, and then the simple six-step process for driving traffic with your blog. Both together are all about creating various versions of internal, external, and backlinks. You want to have a lot of them. So the backlinks are caused by the steps in the simple six-step process. You're creating comments on five other people's sites for every post that you put up on your site. Your comments link from the other person's site to your site, not specifically to your domain name.com, but to the post that uses the same keyword. So it would go from the comment to the post, from comment number two to the post. Those are still just one level deep inbound links. But the next step of the simple six-step process is to social bookmark both your post and the five comments. Why are you social bookmarking the five comments? Well, one of the reasons is that social bookmarking the comments creates two level deep inbound links for each social bookmark that you do.
Mm-hmm.
So it would go from dig to the comment, from the comment to your blog post. That now creates a two-level deep inbound link. For each blog post that you create, if you then have five comments and you social bookmark each of the five comments at seven different bookmarking sites, it's automatically creating 35 two-level deep inbound links. The value to you is somewhere on the order of about 3,500 backlinks for just 35 links that you've created.
Yep.
It can allow you with very little content to get humongous search engine rankings quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Rhonda.
No, I was just saying that's a humongous order of magnitude. Do
enormous.
Something in a leveraged way, and it makes all the difference. And even things like
yes.
taking an external, using an external link that is something from Dig or one of the other sites, that's another, you know, it just keeps the linking going.
Precisely. So everything I've talked about so far is what's going to help you create what are called organic search engine listings. And the order of the organic search engine listings, meaning free, is what generates the free traffic from search engines to you.
Right.
But very, very recently, the end of January, Google made an enormous change to its algorithm that allows you to kind of artificially manipulate the search engine listing order in a way that just blew us all away, didn't it, Rhonda?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, when we all, you know, you and I kind of discovered this together on a call as we were looking at things, and it was absolutely phenomenal. And this is where we're going to circle back around to the conversation about influence. And this is where
yep.
when you understand Google and everything we've talked about so far, and you understand influence, you're going to be able to have an impact on those people who could be searching for you. So let's get into that.
So how the heck can that happen, Rhonda?
So as we know, Google is making everything so that people can search and find high-quality information. And so in terms of the organic search, we've talked about all these different ways. But, well, there's another way that you can actually cause people to find you based on using Google and the Google tools. And so we've all started to use this Google Friend Connect little gadget that you can put on your blog, so that what happens is that people can sign into Google, and then everything that you present to them and that you present, you know, will go into the search engines, of course, and all of your friends. So imagine that people come to you, they're looking for whatever it is that you do. They go, oh, here, we can follow you on Google. Now they are being influenced in their search results so that they will find you. And so what happens is when you are doing this and you're connecting through Google and you're friends with people, their things will come up and you will see your friend so-and-so posted this, or your friend commented on this, or your friend shared this, or your friend wrote this, whatever, and it will come up in those listings.
How the heck can Google do that, Rhonda?
Well, there it's really kind of a fun and interesting thing. Since Google is improving the search experience for people to the best of their ability, and every time they make changes, it's hilarious because everybody goes, oh, my God, blah, blah, and a lot of people get very upset. And those marketers who are not building based on relationships and providing good information end up losing out. And, of course, they find new ways to try to cheat people when they try to come back. But it gets harder and harder and harder. So in connecting through Google, when you are somebody's friend in Google, you use the Google Friend Connect gadget, which you can put on your blog. That's at google.com/friendconnect, friend connect, singular. It's going to give you a little chunk of code you can put in your sidebar. And if you've ever pasted a video into your post or an audio or a badge or some kind of banner, it's exactly the same procedure. So no one needs to get all like, oh, what do I do about that. It's very, very simple. People can sign up and follow you. Then anytime they search, they're going to see that you have posted something in that area. All of a sudden now, instead of just being the search rankings that just any old person might get who's searching, now they're going to see who is in your network. What do you have to say? What do other people in their network have to say? And those things will be coming up first. So we can take somebody who has a keyword and they're just wrote one article maybe on the purpose of life or something like that, and they don't really rank anywhere and they're brand new, but now all of a sudden they could be on page one in their friend's searches for that phrase because of the connection to their friends, and that's really very powerful.
It really is. And what Google's really doing is they are tracking the surfing behavior of each and every one of their members. Anyone who has a Google account is being tracked by Google. And as you're surfing the internet, Google is using your surfing behavior to try and predict what it is that you want, so that when they do get you to come to their search engines and type in a keyword, they can do a better job of giving you the kind of information you really want.
Well,
if you're someone who watches a lot of videos, what that'll show up as is you'll see the videos at the top of your search engine ranking.
Right.
If you're someone that listens to a lot of audios, you'll see audios and not videos at the top of your search engine ranking. Never before in history has Google's system had this level of intelligence that could actually predict what it is that you wanted based on your past experiences.
Yep.
And with this Friend Connect tool, what Google's really done is they recognize that even the mindset of a person can be affected by the mindset of the people they know, the people they know, and the people they know, really up to six levels deep. There have been a number of studies that have proven scientifically that you are much more likely to be happy if your connections 3 to 6 levels deep are happy people to start with. Google's just expanding on that by allowing your friends' surfing habits, their friends' surfing habits, and their friends' friends' surfing habits to all affect the listing order of the search results when you do a search in Google. That is just mind-blowing, isn't it?
I know. It's wow. I mean, it makes me go, wow, that's just so astounding that they are able to do that. And it's just so interesting how you can make that work for you. And just think about it. Here's a couple of things to think about. Let's say that you go to a coffee shop every day and you tend to get coffee and pie. You kind of like it if you go in and your waitress says, hey, you're going to have your coffee and pie today? And you go, oh, you knew what I wanted. Yes. And you feel good because that person remembered what you typically order. If you go into a Starbucks and they go, oh, here it is. It's a tall macchiato with what soy milk or whatever. And they know what you want already. You feel good because you feel well served. Wow, they really knew what I wanted. They really served me. So it's things like that. And think of how many times you're going to maybe go to a movie. Well, do you look at what your friends think of it? Do you ask around on your friends? Do you put on Facebook, hey, has anybody seen blah, blah, blah? You might do that. You might ask friends. You might go to a site like Rotten Tomatoes or whatever, but you're checking it out with other people to see what they want. So when then those things are put up in front of your search that are the types of things that you would want, or you say, hey, your friend so-and-so shared this, you're like, oh, well, it must be good if they shared it. So it's really tapping into that whole point of influencing that we started off the show with.
It really is. And, you know, you have to keep in mind that your prospects and your customers are not marketers. And I'll guarantee you, in 99.9% of the niches out there, they don't have enough knowledge about how Google works to even recognize that their search engine rankings are created by their surfing habits, their friends' surfing habits, their friends' friends' surfing habits, and so on. They don't know that. They just know that when they put in this keyword, it shows them the information that they like, and that it gets them much better results much faster without having to weed through hundreds of pages worth of data to find it. So it's really a big, big deal because they don't know that that's what happens.
Right.
All they know is they connected to you, and the minute they connected to you, all of the stuff they've been searching for seemed to magically appear in front of them for some unknown reason. And the only thing they remember doing is they connected to you.
Yep.
What does that do for you in their eyes?
Oh, I mean, it's just amazing. They really, you're like their hero because you brought them exactly what they were looking for. And it's what I call message to market to moment match. In other words, what you talk about is for the person, the right person, who is looking for what you have, okay? So that's going to be the right market, the right message, meaning what they want, and at the right moment is the time that they're looking for it. If I really have a headache and I'm desperate for some aspirin or something, and that is the moment that I need the aspirin is now, not 5 years from now when I don't have a headache.
You got it. So what does this mean you need to do if you want to get better exposure on Google?
Putting the Friend Connect gadget on your blog is one thing. Also, being really judicious about going to places, articles, and things, when you see something that your people would like, that you want to go ahead and spread that through the Google Buzz and through other social networks. Google Buzz is a phenomenal free tool, and it's really easy to just buzz something. And then in your description of whatever it is that you are thinking is good for people, make sure to use one of those keywords that people are searching for that will point them back to you. That is going to help you in the search engine rankings very easily without taking a lot of extra time. And you being an expert, you're going to come across various articles, blog posts, videos, audios, whatever, all kinds of things that could be really useful for your audience, and you're going to recommend that anyhow. So get leverage out of it.
Absolutely. And connect with other marketers who are already connected to the audience that you're serving through Google Friend Connect. If you can get other marketers who have a presence in front of your audience to connect with you in Google Friend Connect, their friends' friends, their friends' friends' friends, three level deep, will automatically start to see your domain name and all of your entries high up in the search engine listings in the first couple of pages worth of results, even if you were logged out of Google, went to Google, did the keyword search for your keyword, you were showing up on page 1,000, that connection will automatically elevate you in all of the people's browsers when they're logged into Google,
right,
just because of the Friend Connect piece. That's just so powerful.
Right. So there's that, and the other really easy thing that you can do is make sure that your blog is hooked up in the right way so that when you post a blog, and you're, of course, using your keyword in the title, when that goes to Twitter and to Facebook and it gets picked up in Friend Feed and you do a little bit of extra, like bop it through Ping FM and Google Buzz and Yahoo Buzz, all of a sudden you have links all over the place very easily for your post and for anything else that is relevant. Those things really help you too. So, and that's, again, not taking a lot of time, not taking a lot of effort. Do you have it set up right
now? Well, this is massive leverage, right, Rhonda? Because you're taking one action, you're posting to your blog. That's it.
Right.
The tools that are out there will then cause the blog post to be pushed out to Twitter. Facebook will pull in the post from Twitter to your Facebook account, putting it out into Ping FM, which you could actually use to publish to your blog originally, can then pop it out to a number of other places. Friend Feed can use your feed from your blog to automatically pull the post into Friend Feed.
Yep.
Each and every place that that post appears creates yet another entry in the search results. So if you just have your post on your blog tied to Twitter, Twitter tied to Facebook, and your feed tied to Friend Feed, the minute you put a new post out, it doesn't show up in the search engine results once.
Right.
It shows up four times, once for each site that it's tied to. If you then use my instant video, so that not only will it pull in your text, it will pull in your audio and your video as well. You don't have 12 entries. You don't have four entries in the search engines. You now have 12. One for each creative, one for each site. Those same four sites are 12 separate entries. That's more than one page of search engine listings just by posting to your blog once. Massive amounts of leverage. You don't have to work harder. You have to work smarter.
Right. Absolutely. And we're coming to the end of the hour, which is amazing. And you said you had some news.
I do. So one of the things you really need to pay attention to is your metrics. You want to know at all times what's working and what's not so that you can really start to gauge what you should be spending your time and energy doing. If it's not getting results, then why bother doing it, right? So one of the metrics that you need to look at is paying attention to the number of pages Google is indexing for your site and looking at the number of backlinks Google is seeing for your site. There is a tool called SEO Quake. If you go to askggg.com/SEO tools, T-O-O-L-S, askggg.com/SEO tools, you can download and install the SEO Quake toolbar for Firefox. One of the things that it will show you is your page rank. You should always be aware of what your page rank is. The next item it will show you is the number of pages that Google has indexed for your site. What it's really doing when it gives you that number is it's going into Google and it's doing a search. And what it's searching for is site colon and then your domain name. Until a few days ago, when you looked at site colon and your domain name, you had a space between the colon and your domain. You no longer have a space. This just changed over the weekend. So it's site:profitablestorytelling.com. It will show you how many pages Google has indexed. It used to be that the number on SEO Quake was the number of pages Google indexed, but it didn't do that with site colon. Site colon used to show you the number of backlinks coming into your site. Well, that's no longer done with site colon. That's now done with link colon. So if you want to see the number of inbound links coming into your site, you go to Google and you type in link colon, and this time you have a space between the colon and your domain name. So link colon space profitablestorytelling.com will show you how many incoming links you have for profitablestorytelling.com. site:profitablestorytelling.com will tell you how many pages Google has indexed for your site. This is the part that makes blogging so effective. a WordPress blog by nature, just by the design of the blog, will automatically cause multiple links on your site for every single entry that you put in because of the way that WordPress organizes and manages your content. If you only have 20 blog posts on your site, it will probably show thousands of pages being indexed by Google simply because of WordPress. You want to know your metrics and know this stuff on a regular basis so you can track your progress and see how you're doing. You should be looking at things like how many visitors you're getting that are unique each day, how many pages those visitors are viewing, how many links those visitors are clicking on, how much you've made from those links, and how many subscribers you get. All of these different elements are the metrics that you want to be tracking to know what kind of a job you're doing. So that's the news, Rhonda, is the link colon space and the site colon no space to get your backlinks and the number of pages Google has indexed.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool, and if you're using the magic formula and the simple six-step process for every blog post, your number of backlinks will grow somewhere between 100 and 500 new backlinks a day.
That's really powerful.
It is, and before you know it, you will be an authority in Google's eyes with a page rank of 5 or higher.
That is just phenomenal. And without having to tear your hair out, spend thousands of dollars on SEM or SEO services and all those types of things that people do, you can be the one that people go to effortlessly and as close to autopilot as you're likely to get.
Absolutely. And, you know, the beautiful thing about this is if you really take the message of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio to heart, you're going to be going out serving your prospects and customers. And that's really all that Google is looking for, is which are the businesses that really do a good job of serving the people that Google sends. If you always come from a place of service, you always attempt to be an influencer, and you really focus on allowing relationships to grow and monetizing the relationships, you will never be hit by things like the Google slap in a negative way, because
right.
Google comes from the same place. They want to serve their searchers as badly as you want to serve your prospects and customers, and you will find that the serving element will generate higher search engine rankings than any gimmicky black hat technique you can ever imagine.
That
so thanks
so
for setting up this show, Rhonda. Awesome topic.
Yeah, it was definitely something we needed to do, and I'm really glad that we can do this and catch everybody up on all these changes. This will be a great resource for the Directions University community.
It will, and for all of you who really want to get into this stuff even more, I can't recommend the 30-day challenge enough. You go to 30dayimchallenge.com. Get started with the lessons and upgrade to Gold Member. It's a one-time $14.95 to get lifetime access to our weekly calls that are held every weekend, Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern. You'll get the recordings from like the last 1 or 2 years when you first get in. Then you'll be able to come every single week and get questions like these answered. We were talking about these changes in Google the last week of January, days after they happened. It wouldn't have had to wait 2 extra months to figure out what was going on if you had been part of the Gold program. So I really want to encourage everybody, 30dayimchallenge.com. Make sure you sign up for free, totally free, for the 16-plus lessons that are there, and then upgrade to Gold member and join us Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern and get some help with your business and what's going on with you on the search engines. And we'll also help you take a look at how you can do a better job of monetizing all the new traffic you're going to get. So thanks again, Rhonda, and we'll be back next week on Tuesday at noon Eastern with another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great week, everyone.